Hey, friends. Thank you for taking 30 seconds out of listening to our good friends, Isaac and Angie Tolpin. Hi, my name is Aaron Smith, and I, along with my wife, Jennifer, host a weekly podcast called Marriage After God. After you're done being encouraged by our dear friends at Courageous Parenting, we'd love to invite you to check out the Marriage After God podcast, where our desire is to encourage you to grow closer to God and your spouse by sharing with you what God is teaching us in our marriage and by digging deep into God's word. We share intimately and transparently, and we love to go deep into scripture. Thank you again for letting us have a few moments with you. Now, please enjoy the rest of Courageous Parenting podcast, and don't forget to check out the Marriage After God podcast when you're done.
Welcome to Courageous Parenting Podcast, a weekly show to equip parents with biblical truth on raising confident Christian kids in an uncertain world.
Hi, I'm Angie from Courageous Mom.
And Isaac from Resolute Man, together pursuing the mission to impact 10 million families and their legacies for the kingdom of God.
We've been married for 23 years and are seeing the fruit from raising our 9 children biblically based on the raw truth found in the Bible.
We can no longer let the culture win the hearts of children, as too many from Christian families are walking away from their faith by the age 18. And it doesn't have to be this way. It shouldn't be this way.
We're praising the Lord that the ministry continues to expand and impact more legacies. We couldn't do this without you, whether you pray for us, give us 5-star reviews, or share on social.
Or even if you purchase courses and merch or join the Be Courageous app community, enjoy the coffee or support financially. We're so thankful you are a big part of the 10 Million Legacies movement.
If you want access to all the episodes, show notes, and other biblically-based resources, go to BeCourageousMinistry.org.
Join us as we start another important conversation about effective parenting in the fallen world. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, guys.
Talking about courage today. I mean, it is Be Courageous Ministry.
That's right. So we are going to be talking about some interesting stories from our past history today. Just kind of reflecting on the times when God called us to rise up and be courageous when we were struggling with fear at times.
And practical insights on how to be courageous, but why it is crucial today, and to really evaluate yourself against some of the topics we're talking about.
That's right. So thanks for joining us for this podcast, for listening faithfully. Thank you to those of you who have left a review on Apple or iTunes, wherever you listen. Those mean so much to us. But we also just wanted to encourage you guys to check into the Be Courageous app. This has become a really powerful community. We do a live every single week the day after the podcast launches. So this podcast usually comes out on Tuesdays. So Wednesdays, we're doing it at 3 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. Little live in there that always shares extras after the podcast episode. And then we do a Q&A. So if that sounds like something that you'd be interested in, go check out Be Courageous app. You can find out about it at the BeCourageousMinistry.org.
Home on Friday with Angie. Mm-hmm. So, and so much more powerful community that's growing. So, hey, BeCourageousMinistry.org is where all the resources are. But let's dive in. You know, what is courage? You know, someone once said, courage is... isn't the absence of fear, it's doing despite fear or something like that, right? So if we didn't fear anything, would it take courage to do it? That's the real question, right? And of course, courage is only courage because it is uncomfortable, because there is some fear, because it is beyond our comfort zone to make a decision to do something, to say no.
Maybe to stand up in a position of opposition against what seems common. I don't want to say normal because it's not normal, but what's common in society, or maybe even within like your circle of influence, your community, or your family. Sometimes when you're growing in the Lord, not sometimes, when you are growing in the Lord, there are going to be situations where you just have to change. You have to do something differently. And it may look very countercultural to what is common in your community. And in those situations, there can be fear associated with that change, with standing up and maybe being the first one to say, no, we're not going to watch those kinds of movies, or yes, we are going to serve in this capacity, or we're going to do something that maybe other people are not comfortable with.
And there's some detriments to fear. I mean, loneliness is a huge detriment to fear because you're just trying to fit in and belong. And that is kind of the opposite of being courageous. It's going to be hard to be courageous if you're not walking confidently and strong and feeling like you belong, so that you are worthy of saying something. And I would say, even if you feel lonely, you can still be courageous, but it's an encouragement to do so. Don't let that be a detriment if you're feeling alone. Don't let it be a detriment if you're trying to be part of something and these kinds of things. Don't be a detriment because you're trying to be nice. We can be nice and be courageous at the same time. We can disagree. We have to get super good at disagreeing and loving each other well. And we should be examples of that to our children. It's going to be even more difficult for them in their futures to navigate that line of, how do I disagree with somebody, somebody's lifestyle choice, decision, go against the grain, not do something everybody else is doing in Christian circles? How do you do that well? Well, they need to see us do it and still be in relationship with people.
Yeah. So we just wanted to start out by digging into the Word of God. 2 Timothy 1:7 is one of the best encouragements for those of us who are walking in the Spirit, right? For those of us who have experienced the power of God. And think of that time maybe when you were really struggling with fear, or you knew that God was calling you to do something that was out of your comfort zone. Or maybe he was asking you to be obedient in something you had never done before. Or maybe he's just asking you to be faithful in doing something consistently over a long period of time, and you're feeling weary because you're the only one doing it. Well, this verse is for you. It says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." And I'm going to stop right there, because I think that it's really important that we recognize first and foremost, like, what is the purpose for why we're even created here on earth? Obviously, as Christians, we have collective purposes, right? To know God, make him known. We know that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Then we have the Great Commission, which is, go ye therefore into all nations and make disciples, right? Mm-hmm. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, the reality is those are collective purposes for which we're all created, but a lot of people get scared to share their faith. Mm-hmm. They get scared to share their testimony or to really point to the one who has done the miracle in their life. And we need to not be ashamed. That's what this is saying. In the second verse, in verse 8, it says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." I think there's an element of, like, especially in today's society, where just claiming that you're a Christian takes courage for some people. Think of the kid who maybe is going to the public school and they don't know any other Christians in their classroom. Mm-hmm. Maybe they know other people are very anti-Christian. And for them to even say, "I'm a Christian," or "I love Jesus," or anything of the sort, might be something that they're scared to share. They might be so scared to share it that that could translate in being ashamed of the testimony that they personally have. And this is a word for those people. I also think that this is an important word for all of us to recognize, like, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. So if we have a spirit of fear, we know it's not from him. It's either our flesh, or it's because of lies we're believing from the enemy, or lies we're believing from the world, and the temptations of falling into those traps.
Well, there's no persecution if you're not claiming Jesus, right? And if we're claiming Jesus, there's supposed to be persecution. We're not looking for it, of course, but that's what Paul talks about over and over again in the New Testament, is that you're going to be persecuted. Mm-hmm. And that is persecuted. That's not just people doing bad things to you. That's for whatever reason. It is because you believe in Jesus and you're proclaiming Jesus that people don't like you, or they are discouraging towards you, or do something to you. That's persecution.
Right.
Or cancel you on social media.
Well, and that kind of thing can happen on a regular basis in today's world, for sure. But I think that there's also this element of, you know, we're talking about having courage in regards to sharing your faith, because really that's, like, all Christians, we know that we are called here for a purpose, and God invites us to partner with him in the Great Commission and in sowing good seeds and watering seeds that have been sowed previously by encouraging other people to walk in the faith, right? And that word, there's a word, and it's discipleship, or discipling someone in the way towards acknowledgement of the Lord and confession of their sins and repentance, right? And a lot of people get scared and thinking that they aren't equipped in order to be able to do that. And so maybe though, like, that fear of, "I wouldn't know where to go to in the Bible," prevents people from actually fulfilling the main thing that God has called us all to do, regardless of what our professions are. regardless of our family history, regardless of who we're in community with. And I think that for me as a mom, this is a huge thing for me to remember that I need to train my kids up in how to share about Jesus and how to lead someone to the Lord and how to ask good questions that are going to lead them in the way of thinking deeper and asking themselves, oh, what is my purpose in life? Oh, why was I created? Do I believe in a God? Do I believe there's an eternity? And like asking really hard questions of people. And I think that, you know, it's interesting. I was just recently reading a book by Sean McDowell called So the Next Generation Will Know. And in there, he says that the average, when you study large people groups of what is like the average median age of when someone comes to the Lord, the crazy statistic is it was age 11. So how much more, like in that moment when I read that, I went, whoa. So I should definitely be equipping my children with this, with skills, with knowledge of knowing what scriptures to share with people to encourage them to encourage other kids, right? Like, hey, have you made a commitment to Jesus?
I think it takes courage too, just to ask your children some questions. Mm-hmm. Like, how's your walk with God going to your teenager? Mm-hmm. How do you have any spiritual questions? It takes courage because it takes time, you know, and you have to really be there after you ask that question to, you know, give answers. And maybe you don't even feel confident enough in the Bible to give good answers. Mm-hmm. And so that's where
I think that's probably where most parents struggle or have fears, right? Is like, if they ask the question that they know they should ask, are they prepared for the answer that they're going to get, or are they scared for the answer they're going to get?
Medical freedom is something we all desire, and I think we'd all agree that in the last 4 years, we've really realized just how important it is to have a trusted, like-minded doctor.
You should be able to build your medical team and choose who you get care from, knowing that where you spend your money is a matter of stewardship and a desire to support local Christian medical businesses.
Absolutely. I don't know about you, but I prefer to help support businesses that have a biblical worldview on life and health.
Here's the problem. More often than not, you have to choose your doctor off a preferred in-network list. And if I'm really honest, those clinics usually see such mass quantities of people that it's incredibly impersonal and you walk away feeling like a number. In addition, in most cases, in order to be seen by specialists, you're required to get a referral from a primary care physician, which costs more time and money.
We want to introduce you to a biblical approach to healthcare, Samaritan Ministries. You can find out more about it at samaritanministries.org/becourageous.
They're a health-sharing ministry built on biblical principles of bearing one another's burdens practically, financially through helping with healthcare costs, and spiritually through praying and caring for one another.
Samaritan Ministries gives you the freedom you desire to choose your doctors and healthcare professionals, including, this is cool, alternative care providers like chiropractors and naturopathic providers as well.
The process is simple and provides us as Christians a way to obey scripture and care for one another as the larger church.
Samaritan Ministries is the only healthcare sharing ministry with direct member-to-member sharing.
I love that we send our monthly share directly to another brother or sister in Christ to support someone going through a medical crisis or recovering from a medical need rather than to some large corporation.
So if you'd like to find out more about Samaritan Ministries, go to samaritanministries.org/becourageous. That's samaritanministries.org/becourageous to learn more.
When you sign up, don't forget to tell them that Be Courageous Ministry or Angie and Isaac Tolpin referred you.
The links will also be in our weekly podcast show notes at becourageousministry.org.
That's the first place.
And I would encourage you that it's okay to look things up with your children. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be walking strong in relationship with Jesus and still not know where something is in the Bible and look it up with your kids. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have everything memorized or like some perfect disciple plan to be able to ask your kids questions. I think that's too often the Christian community puts so many barriers, and they don't even realize it, in front of just simplicity of Christian living and discipleship.
Knowing Jesus,
which is, you know, don't be afraid to ask something because you're not sure if you know where it is in the Bible exactly or how to answer it off the cuff. You ask, and you can discover together on something. You can go, well, let's look it up. And then what are you also teaching? How to look things up and how that's okay to look things up and where something is in the Bible. Because you know it's in the Bible. You just don't know exactly where it is. It happens to me all the time.
Well, and I even think about how intimidating any faith can be to someone else if they're not familiar with it and they're new to it, right? Mm-hmm. And so for someone that you're witnessing to for the first time, for them to be able to see a humble response that's not a know-it-all, for lack of a better term, that's like willing to go, oh, that's a really good question. You know, I know there's verse somewhere, but I can't remember where it is. Let me look that up. And like for them to experience that process, it actually feels more authentic and less rehearsed. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like we've all met those people that they may be on fire for the Lord, but there's like this rehearsed version of sharing the gospel to people over and over again. And I do think that when it's this rehearsed thing, it can come across as less genuine or less sincere. Mm. And so I think that there's a need for us as Christians to really think about, like, how much do I love my neighbor? Do I know, like, do they know God? Do they know their creator? Do they know the savior of their soul? And when you recognize that they don't, there's this urgency to tell them about the savior of the world because you know where they're headed without him,
yeah.
Right? And so then that urgency leads you to a place of like wanting to love them and invest in that relationship so that you earn the voice to be able to share the truth with them in a way that they would receive. And I think that that process is kind of intimidating for people because it does take time, but time is our greatest commodity. And the Lord actually talks to us throughout scripture, urging us to build treasures in heaven, to focus our eyes on heaven, not on earthly things. And recognizing that relationships are eternal things, right? Like in the sense that the soul that's in Isaac is an eternal thing and it's gonna have an eternal destination. And when you recognize that and that you get to partake and partner with the Holy Spirit in the whole process of inviting them to follow the Lord, that is huge.
It is huge. So courage is required. It's absolutely required. It's not an option. We're living in times where we have to have it as parents. Mm-hmm. If we don't have a sense of strong courage in living that out, how in the world mm-hmm. are our children going to know how to do it themselves? See, they need to see it modeled. They need to see parents that are going beyond their own strength, trusting God and making a hard decision versus the easy decision, even though people around them are making the easier decision that looks normal in the Christian mm-hmm, rhythm. Mm-hmm. So we have to go beyond that. We have to show that to our children and model it because mm-hmm. let me ask you a question. Is their future easier or harder likely in terms of being a Christian in this world? It's going to be harder, right? It's likely to be harder. So what do they need to see? They need to see courage oozing out of us. Not perfectly. It can be very imperfect. Mm-hmm. And I would say talking about the imperfection with your children is a good thing. Talking about the time, you know what? I probably should have done that differently. And here's how I'm going to do it next time.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's okay to make mistakes when we don't show the courage we need to,
mm-hmm.
but it's not okay to not confess those mistakes in a way that is a teaching moment for our children. Mm-hmm. That's part of equipping them. Mm-hmm. It's not a perfect parent. It's not perfect courage. It's desiring to be mm-hmm. courageous, leaning on the Lord and demonstrating mm-hmm. it, and then also demonstrating when we didn't do it.
So one of the verses that we used when we were making or praying about what the name of the ministry was going to be was Joshua 1:9. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Wherever you go. We know that this is a truth, that God goes with us wherever we go. But it's interesting. He says, "Have I not commanded you?" He has commanded his people mm-hmm. to be strong and courageous, to not be frightened, not be dismayed. And so, Isaac, what is one time when you were struggling with being frightened or dismayed, if you will, where you really were challenged to have to lean on the Lord?
Oh, I mean, I built a company and there was a lot of employees, a lot of space and a lot of repercussions. And it took a lot of courage to close it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some courageous brothers that helped me do that and encouraged me in that way. And I think that's part of courage. Courage inspires courage. You know, them showing courage to me mm-hmm. helped me to be courageous in that moment of, you know, not knowing the answer of how I'll provide for my family, but instead doing what's absolutely best in all situations, at the detriment of, you know, provision, and then trusting God to do that. So that was a big, I think another thing is doing what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. It takes an ongoing courage. You know, I'm very used to the business world. I've had big successes in the business world, obviously a failure in shutting that one thing down, but I've done many other things that were very successful and where money was just, you know, coming in and we're saving, we had all the things, investing and, mm-hmm. and these different things. And, you know, doing ministry has been very, very different. It's a reliance on the Lord, mm-hmm. and the Lord provides through his people. And it's just a different process. And so it literally on the provision side, I've been kept in a constant mode of trusting God.
Mm-hmm. Which has caused you to have to really relinquish fear, to give him more fears, to trust him, to grow in that.
Yeah.
It's interesting because for years, I saw that God had wired you, if you will, in a way where ministry or sharing the truth, sharing the gospel, ministering to other people, leading other people was definitely giftings that God had given you. And we had talked about this early on in our marriage, the first few years of our marriage. But, you know, back then you were like, how would this provide for a family? Like, how would that do that? And I think that it's just really a beautiful thing to see how all the things that we've walked through in life have actually all been seasons and boot camps, if you will, that have prepared us better to be able to do the ministry that we're doing today. And as I was reflecting on different things that I have struggled with, where I've struggled with fear as a mom, you were asking me before the podcast, Hans, are you capable of sharing some things that took courage? What are some things that took you courage? And immediately the first thing I thought of was just even having babies took courage. Obviously the first one is always like a thing. There's the fear of the unknown. Every mom struggles with that first time a little bit, right? Every different varied quantities of that. And I don't really have too much fear with having our firstborn. But the pregnancies were so hard for me that saying yes to having another pregnancy, there was elements of fear, especially later on when we experienced complications with pregnancies and hemorrhages and infant loss, mm-hmm. right? And where we lost two babies, and then I almost lost my life during one of them. And so there are definitely different situations that I've personally physically walked through where having to heal from the loss, from the pain, from the suffering is one aspect of being able to say yes and walk in a yes mode to God the next time. But then there was all the mind stuff that follows from those experiences, right? That lead you to a place of like recognizing. So it's just funny to me when women all say things like,
hey there, we just wanted to invite you to join us in the next Parenting Mentor Program, where we talk more about the heart of parenting in session 2. So take a listen to this next little clip and we hope you join us.
Steve and I realized that we were getting too comfortable with the world's vision of how to raise our children.
What Angie and Isaac have done in creating this is literally phenomenal.
This program provided awesome scripture-based teachings and just some really great practical applications.
This class has just really rocked my world.
It has given me a vision for not just the different things that we might focus on as parents who are trying to raise our kids biblically, like how our kids are behaving or what we're doing with discipline, but also the things of the heart.
We now have a game plan to how we want to raise our children. We have so many answers to the questions that have been in our mind.
It's not just these hypothetical situations, or it's not just this, here's what I think you should do. It's, let me show you where in scripture this is.
Do your legacy a favor and yourself a favor and just do it.
One of the best things that we've done this year, one of the best investments we've made this year, and I could not recommend it more.
We're no longer fearing dark days ahead, but we're so excited to raise lights to be leaders for the next generation.
Whoa, you have 9 kids. You must have easy pregnancies. And I like want to laugh because I wish I could say that, but that's just not my story. That's not the story God wrote for me. And I know though that he allowed me to walk through what I went through for his glory and for the sanctification and encouragement of other people. My own sanctification, but encouragement of other people. And so setting out in those hard times, whatever your hard thing is, to first and foremost recognize that God is with you, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, He will be walking with you through whatever valley, through whatever hardship you potentially will meet by saying yes, right? Or saying no. And, but then at the same time, also recognizing that it's not just about you, mm-hmm. that God has a bigger story. It's kind of like, you know, imagine if the men and women of the Bible were all focused on themselves and thought that the lessons that they were learning were all about themselves. We wouldn't even have this today, in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's God's ordained word, but what we see over and over again is men and women who had struggles, who walked through painful experiences, who were persecuted, or they suffered, or they sinned greatly, and God redeemed those situations for His glory in many of the cases. And then there are the situations where there's massive warnings, right? Like you watch Sodom and Gomorrah, massive warning, right? And so I just look back on every one of the stories, and not stories, but historical accounts in scripture. And you could ask the question, how did that person have to be courageous? Like with Genesis 19, like you, what is the story of courage? Well, Lot had to have courage to leave, right?
I think too, and like all of these things we've mentioned, that's such good examples, but they're all big things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important to talk about the big things, but mm-hmm. I also think maybe even more important is all the small decisions that took courage
yeah.
that accumulate over mm-hmm. a span of a 10-year period, a span of a year. It takes mm-hmm. a lot of courage. And I can think there's so many times things that we said no to that were unpopular. So many times we said yes to things that no one else was doing around us. There's so many times that we deliberated and we're like, hey, why do we keep making this parenting thing harder on us? Why are we going the hard route? And then we go, well, because
there's more fruit.
There's more future fruit. It's yes. not even.
It's not even about.
It's not even
immediate fruit.
And then yes. in the next month or two, it's down the road yeah. fruit. But we just felt a conviction after really praying and thinking about everything along the road, and not just going along, never just going along with mm-hmm. what's happening. Sometimes we went along if that was the best thing, mm-hmm. but if it wasn't, if there was something better, we tend to gravitate towards that. And I'm so thankful because now we're seeing the fruit of that harder mm-hmm. path. And now the world has drastically changed. But at the same time, those same decisions we made would be the same decisions we'd be making today with a different world, because those threats were still there.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. And so let's come up with some of the more simple things that take courage on a day-to-day basis.
How about saying no to gossip when you're in a group of friends?
How about saying yes to opening the Bible and leading your family?
Yes. For guys, poof, big.
It's a big one, right? Or how about saying yes to homeschooling? I mean, that's kind of another big yes, actually. Yeah. But when you're doing it, it's like it's something you have to say yes to every day.
Yeah.
And it's also saying no to setting aside other things that maybe your heart desires more, like having more time to spend building friendships or meeting somebody for coffee. Sometimes you have to say no to those things in order to have time to say yes to the other things, like homeschooling.
How about caring about the discipleship of your kids more than the mm-hmm. athletic programs?
Right. Or there's even saying yes to a new habit that's hard and you're scared to commit. I recently said yes to working out on a regular basis with one of my neighbors. And actually, I think I invited her first, but she's been like my motivation. She's so faithful. And it's been a huge encouragement to me and to both of us to be able to have someone to run the race with. But I think that there's an element there of when one of us is discouraged, the other needs to pull the other one up, because yeah. there has been discouragement even in that process of creating a new habit and not necessarily seeing the changes that we wanted to see, but just knowing that what we're doing is still making a big difference.
How about saying no to masks? Remember to say no to that. No,
yeah.
not going to do it. My kids are not going
to
wear them.
Even saying yes to taking it on the road. You were working from the road and we went on a road trip. That would seemed a little bit, that was crazy.
Worst time right? to do a 3-month RV trip.
Right.
I mean, following through on a promise.
Right. It was about following through because we had visioneered about this for a decade with our kids and realizing we were running out of a timeline.
How about asking a mentor? Mm-hmm. That was a big, that took courage for me.
Asking someone to mentor you. Yeah, that was a big ask. I think that's harder for guys than it is for girls, yeah, for sure. I think that there's an element there of shudder to say pride, but it's true. But then there's also the whole, like, where am I going to find the time to do this?
Investing money in learning and growing.
Yeah. What about changing your diet? I mean, that's a big thing. Like, a lot of people literally think to themselves, I don't want to commit to this because I don't think I can do it.
How about starting something? There's all kinds of things people think are thinking about starting and never do.
Or even starting a business, right? Or saying yes to doing something they've never done before. I mean, there's just so many things. Like, every year people ask me about the garden and I'm like, it's an experiment every year. And I have to view it that way, open-handed, as to the Lord, because he's really the one that brings increase. We do hard work and we do our best and we got to give it to God.
How about having your kids sit with you during church?
Yeah, there's
a... We made that decision, 17 years ago?
And every Sunday... Because there's obviously opportunities there. And when you have 9, you always have a kid in training. But when there's opportunities to put them in Sunday school, I mean, we're not tempted to, but I often look around and I'm like, everybody else has their kids in Sunday school but us. And so then I feel like I'm the one with the loud kid, you know, even though he's generally pretty good.
Yeah.
And it is one of those things where it's like, okay, I gotta stay faithful. 24 years in, let's go. You know,
I mean, you can think of your own examples. We're just running through some things top of mind, but courage is required. Mm-hmm. You can't just go in the same directions. We're not saying you have to do all the exact same things we just listed. We're sharing our personal examples and ideas, and you have your own ideas. But here's the thing. Courage is required for the times, but it's also required for parenting, but it's also inspiring. Here's the cool thing. We have two cool things for you. One of them is it inspires people. Mm-hmm. When somebody demonstrates courage, people see it and inspires them to be more courageous. It almost like gives other people permission to go in that same direction. A lot of people, no one really ever wants to embrace this title, but most people follow, frankly. And if you're going to be courageous, it's going to cause people to follow you in a courageous path. Mm-hmm. And that, as long as it's a good direction, that's a great thing. Mm-hmm. And so one of the biggest challenges, probably why our app is so popular, the Be Courageous app, is because there's a challenge with biblical community. There's a challenge with really surrounding yourself with the people you can really trust and run the race with and go deep with in conversation and sharpen each other, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but you know what? It's time for people listening to the podcast. Maybe you already are, so I'm not talking down to you, but it's time to be the difference. Mm-hmm. It's time to have the courage to inspire a shift in your community, to inspire people towards better ways of communicating, talking to each other, inspire away from gossip and towards talking about theology, right? That's just one example, but that takes courage and a little bit of leadership, just a little bit of influence to steer something in a better direction.
I also think that it takes courage to even share things, right? Like one of the reasons why we did Be Courageous Ministry, we started with Courageous Parenting Podcast, and then we went into the Parenting Mentor Program, and it was all from a place of really seeing that God was asking us to have big faith and trust him as we're willing to just share the hard things, the good things, all the things that we had learned over the years of parenting. And if they encourage some parents, to God be the glory, right? That was really what it was. And we looked around and we saw so many parents that were struggling to parent biblically, not knowing, not having come from Christian homes, not having had a Christian father.
Or just stuck in a normal route or they're not just working very well.
Right, or they're just going about it legalistically or just going through the motions, right? And you just do what everybody else is doing. And recognizing that the stats are just not showing upright, right? Like when we were paying attention to some of what Ken Ham was sharing and already gone about how, you know, 70 to 80% of kids are leaving the faith by age 18. And you're just like, what? Okay, so clearly what is happening in normal Christian parenting homes?
Cause I think it's a Barnum study. Before the book came out, we were doing that.
Yeah. Well, it's a really big deal. And so looking at that and going, okay, well, we want like-minded friends for our kids and we want them to be able to find like-minded spouses. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, Let's step out in faith and try to encourage other people to do not what we're doing, but to do what God is calling all of us to do and being faithful as parents and training up our children biblically. And you know what's interesting about that? At the time when we started, there were no parenting podcasts that were Christian.
Really?
And yeah, I remember like so many people, well, a lot of the friends that we were talking to had come to us and said, there isn't a couple out there that's teaching together, a husband and a wife. There are a lot of mom podcasts, a lot of mom podcasts, but the guys aren't going to listen to those. Right.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple other things like Focus on the Family, but at the time they weren't really engaging with this, what was happening, current events and how to talk to parents. Now they are doing that. At least I see them doing that on social media. And it's just been an interesting journey because when we started out, there was just such a hunger for it and such a huge need. And now I see so many more couples that have been rising up. And I know that for myself, when I see other people sharing boldly about whether it's gender confusion or what's happening with the WHO or, you know, and how does this affect our parents, parental rights, homeschool laws, vaccination, medical freedom rights. Like when I see other people sharing those things, it does actually inspire me because I'm like, that's right. We should be sharing this stuff. Let's make it known. Let's activate as parents and get involved in the legislative level. Let's vote right. Let's focus on building the future for our kids because we do have the power to impact right now.
Yeah.
And it does give me courage. And you know, we didn't choose courageous parenting because we had done it all right and we were courageous people all the time. That's not what it was. It was like we felt like God was calling us up to do something new that we hadn't really seen a lot of.
And it's important that people are inspired right now. It's important for your community because right now there's challenges happening in the world and so forth, but we're pretty much in a spot where, you know, is it needed to be courageous every single day? Like there isn't a huge big deal happening necessarily, if you're in America at least, against us, right? You could argue, well, there's this gender confusion. No, I know there's deals, but there's not this like all-encompassing, all businesses shut down like COVID thing, right?
It's happening and right
forcing
now.
Forcing everybody to wear masks and altering their behavior and these kinds of things. Okay. That's what I would call a big thing. And there's likely another big thing coming because the enemy was going to probably try and orchestrate through his people to, the election season coming. How many countries are having elections?
Well, we had heard that there were like 62 different countries that are all in an election year this year. I'm pretty sure that we heard that from a pastor.
So, yeah. Hey, it's just important. You don't know for sure, but there's likely something big coming. And if we're not exercising our courage muscle right now, then what means we're not going to be ready for those times. So we need to be being an inspiration in our communities, in our local churches, for being courageous, for doing better, hard things outside of our comfort zone at the end of our own strength and trusting God and walking in confidence. It is super important. And the final thing is it strengthens our walk with God. When we're courageous, it means we're leaning stronger on Him and His strength versus our own strength.
Yeah, Psalm 112 verse 7 says, "He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries." You know, it's interesting because, you know, there's this coming, like you were just saying, there could be something bigger that happens in the next year, 3 years, whatever, right? And that's true. There could be. But when we have the Lord, we're not troubled by any bad news. Mm-hmm. We're not shocked by it. We're not rocked by it. We have hope in Jesus.
Amen.
And we can walk through those hard things knowing that He's with us and that we're here for His purposes and His glory, not our own. And so when we have that biblical perspective on all things, it really changes everything.
Makes it a lot easier to have courage. You know, Jesus took the sting out of death, you know, Paul kind of talks about in the New Testament. And so if there's no sting in death, and that's the worst possible thing that can happen to us. But how bad really is it? Because we're going to heaven. We know where we're going. It actually is a kind of an extraordinary thing. Is living forever in a better place. So since the sting of death is gone, then what should we fear? It's kind of an interesting perspective. If the very worst thing is actually ends up being an amazing thing for eternity with God, then what can happen to us on this earth?
Mm-hmm.
So we should move in courage. And that was Paul's encouragement, to mm-hmm. move in courage.
Have perspective. Psalm 31:24 says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." And there's another verse in, I think it's Psalm 24, also says the same thing, "Let your heart take courage." I think it's interesting because a lot of times when people are struggling with fear, it's because they're struggling in their mind, right? They're thinking too much, or they're remembering past traumas that maybe are triggering them to not move forward, right? If they had past failures, they're like, oh, they're struggling in their mind. Mm-hmm. But this is saying, let your heart take courage.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really, it's interesting because I think that in the heart of hearts, when we love the Lord God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, when it comes to courage, when your heart is filled with courage, that is going to be like, that's like the thing that you think back on, right? Like when your mind is going back and forth and you need your why for why you do this, when your heart is full of courage, that actually is a beautiful thing, because it can be like when you're thinking about loving people, you're thinking about really, why am I doing what I'm doing? I'm not doing this thing. I'm not trying to have courage for my own benefit. I'm having courage because it's the right thing to do.
And sometimes right? it takes a bigger vision.
It
does. It takes a why beyond what we're capable of.
Or even what makes logical, mindful sense, right? Like sometimes the things that God asks us to take courage in won't make logical sense from like a man's reasoning standpoint, right? Like how many times do we say that biblical parenting is counterculture?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God asks us to do things that are hard, that are the harder path, and it doesn't make sense to other people. And they may think, why are you doing that? That is a harder lifestyle, right? Like even just with the homesteading, sometimes I think to myself, why do I have to make my life so hard? This is such hard work. But I also love being in the garden. That's like a huge love of mine.
But the bigger perspective is we're working a muscle that if it becomes necessary someday, the muscle's already worked. We're already good.
That is one part of it. It is part of our homeschool mm-hmm. education with our boys. I want them to know how to grow things, how things work. And I also, it is better for us because mm-hmm. it's cleaner food. I'm growing it myself. I know where it comes from. I know what's in it, right? Tastes better for sure. Yeah. And it saves us money. So
strengthening your walk with God is a huge part of this. And where is your walk mm-hmm. with God? No, really, where is your walk with God? Are you looking forward to opening the Bible and hearing from the Lord? Are you hearing mm-hmm. from the Lord? Mm-hmm. Or is when you read it, are you just thinking of other things? And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes when we're not seeking, when we're not really, really seeking, we're just doing the Bible dutifully, we're missing out on what is actually, mm-hmm. what God's actually trying to tell us. And so I would ask you, if that's you, just to say mm-hmm. a prayer and to ask God to open your heart and to really understand.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help me understand what your word says and what you want to tell me. And then go read your Bible again mm-hmm. and it'll start coming alive.
Yeah. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." You know, I was just thinking about what one of the hardest things that I think a lot of times people have fear over doing, all people everywhere, is dealing with conflict mm-hmm. and confronting other people.
Mm-hmm.
"I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's a huge, huge encouragement to us. If there is a relationship tear that needs to be confronted, if there's an offense, if there's an apology that needs to be made, if there is something that needs to be done, it's like God alone is the one who strengthens us to be able to have that courage and to speak truth in love. And I think that as a culture, as a world, this is something that people live so independently from one another because they don't want that. But what does the Bible say? Fools despise rebuke, right? And so we need to be careful to be people who are courageous enough to ask for critical criticism, if you will. You could call it that, right? And say, hey, how can I be a better wife? How can I be a better mom? Be courageous in saying, hey, how can I be a better daughter? How can I be a better sister? How can I be better at my job? How can I, mm-hmm. whatever it is, like ask yourself, but be willing to ask other people. That takes courage because you don't know what you're going to hear. And I think that ultimately, if we're trying to grow as people instead of sitting in your room thinking about all of the things that you're good at and not good at and going, you know, this year I think I want to grow in gardening or I want to get good at this. What if we were more transparent and more vulnerable with people and we went to someone and we said, how could I be better? And then we start pursuing growth in that. That would take real courage.
Yeah. So think about what's on your list that is going to require courage, mm-hmm. but God's calling you to do. It's important to think about those things. You know, mm-hmm. what is God calling you to do? Start something, say something, mm-hmm. stop doing something, start doing something. What is it?
That's right. Well, God's calling you to be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6.
And on that, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Hey, thanks for listening and being a part of the 10 Million Legacies movement. Go to BeCourageousMinistry.org for more biblically based resources, ways to switch where you spend your money that support the mission, and information about the incredible Be Courageous app community for believers.
Also, we wanted to quickly tell you about our 6-week online parenting mentor program.
Isaac and I created a powerful biblical curriculum. Here's how it works. Each week, we release a video session with a downloadable parenting packet to make it easy for you to incorporate those teachings directly into your parenting.
This is an incredible self-paced program. We cover everything from tending to their hearts, handling obedience, to overcoming mistakes most Christians are making. But more than that, it's a supportive community. You'll have access to our private group in the Be Courageous app, live webcasts, and direct access to us.
If you're interested in joining our next online parenting mentor program, secure your spot now at BeCourageousMinistry.org. That's BeCourageousMinistry.org.